Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crap Ins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me, as always, is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam. What's up, Ronnie?
Hi, Ben.
Oh, you sound so timid over there.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, baby. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm excited because it's, another Top Chef episode. And not only a Top Chef episode, it's probably the one that people get most excited for. Restaurant Wars. It's our Restaurant Wars episode. I'm still surprised that they've never spun off Restaurant Wars into its own show on Bravo. I don't know. It seems like that would be like a pretty obvious ploy. And I'm sure maybe it'll come to Peacock at some point since they keep on throwing stuff at that platform.
Yes, but have you seen the twins? They're having a show, a Top Chef spinoff show, where you're competing, or the brothers, they're not twins, I guess, the Voltaggios. Yeah, where the cool rebel and the kind of the dorky guy, they're going to compete against each other with their own teams, and their team wins like a stage ship or something in their restaurants.
That sounds very Food Network-y. Is that Food Network or is it Peacock?
It sounds Food Network-y, but it's Peacock.
Oh, okay.
And they make it look very Top Chef-y, but it is very Food Network mixed with Top Chef.
Yeah, because Michael Voltaggio has been doing stuff for Food Network lately, and I'm like, this isn't really your brand, because you know what kimchi is.
Yeah, it's a little bit slumming it for you, right?
Yeah.
So let's
dive in. This is a big episode.
Previously on Top Chef, your tortilla was raw.
I wrote that down also because it was so funny.
Well, I appreciate that you made a tortilla.
Unfortunately, it's raw.
So Byron calls home, which I'm not even going to fall for this. I don't think Byron's going home today. You're not going to get me with the phone call from death. Okay. Yeah. Or the phone call of death. Well, I will not believe it, Top Chef.
Mm-hmm. Their phone calls from home have been misleading. And now I actually think that Maria, they've had so many, fake outs with Byron and Maria all season long that I actually think that at this point, Byron and Maria are going to be in the top four, because now it's just like, if they're not going to be sending them home, then they're just character building for the final four. So that's my bet that both of them are going to be in the final four.
Well, Byron is DACA. He's a dreamer, and he has longed his whole life to travel the world, but I haven't been able to. But as a chef, I can travel through food, which is a romantic notion. You know, I feel kind of the same way. Like, I like traveling in theory, but I don't like leaving my house. So, like, I travel through DoorDash, you know? Yeah. It's like you can go to so many different places. You can fall in love every time. Like today I ordered DoorDash and it was like, Rondell, your order is being prepared. Rondell, John is on his way to pick up your order. Rondell, John is picking up your order. Rondell, John is on his way with your order. Rondell, John is right down the street with your order. Rondell, John is at your door.
Rondell, like John got you the wrong thing. You've been sent to the wrong country. You traveled to the wrong place.
Sometimes it's not very romantic. But it is like after being stuck inside through the COVID year, it is kind of romantic to have your phone dinging so much. And it's like, John's coming. Here's what John's thinking. John's outside your door. John just left you a gift.
It is the that's you know, you got to take what you can get in COVID times. So the chefs go into the go to some like big warehouse space, and Padma's there with Kristen from previous seasons and Gregory. Padma's,
good morning, chefs. Please welcome the newest addition to your judging panel, Top Chef winner of season 10, Kristen Kish, and also, please welcome non-winner Gregory. How does it feel to be standing near a famous person and someone who actually won this show?
Didn't Gregory win? Did he not win?
I don't think he won. I'm going
to
look.
Oh, we now have to look that up. Gregory Gorde.
Well, he has non-winner energy.
Is it the sweater? Is it the sweater?
Yeah, because he lost. He lost his season.
Yeah, he lost to May. But then he came back, right?
And then he didn't win Top Chef All-Stars. Did he win Top Chef All-Stars? I don't think he did. It wasn't Kevin who won that. Melissa won Top Chef All-Stars.
Wow. Okay. But I think that it's such a dinner theater couple, isn't it? It's like, please welcome Kristen Kitsch and Gregory Gorde.
Of the, of the beloved group, the Kitsch and Gorde.
And let me play among the stars.
Wow. They're so wonderful. Someday I'll have to introduce you guys to my dear friend, Mark Ronson.
Can anyone guess what today's challenge is going to be? And if anyone said Gail getting into jeans, yes, it is. But anyway, restaurant wars.
So Maria is already having anxiety about it because she's having flashbacks to opening her own restaurant and makes me want to vomit. So
Kristen, do you remember your experience on Restaurant Wars? Because I definitely do.
Kristen's like, yes, it's hard. It's when you heard me. It's when I heard you say, pack your knives and go, oh, that was so great. When I momentarily crushed your dreams. Oh, what a wonderful time. Now we can all look back and laugh at it, right?
Just a little behind the scenes knowledge. What you didn't hear when I said, please pack your knives and go, was the silent, non-famous person.
Man, I remember that night when you went crying off into the darkness and I went out and had cocktails with my dear friend, David Chang. And I said, some no-name just walked off our set. I thought she was a PA half the time, to be honest. Turns out she was a contestant.
Well, at my Restaurant Wars, we had a concept that wasn't really very cohesive, but I redeemed myself on All Stars with that one.
Okay, Gorde, be quiet, sweater man. Now listen.
He redeemed himself so much he didn't even win, stupid.
During pandemic, there's another kind of restaurant that's taking over America. The chef's table. No, not McDonald's, Gail. Put down your hands. Why is Gail shooting today?
Listen, we can't host hundreds of diners and bring them into your bustling pop-ups this year. Not because of the pandemic. It's just I can't stand being near so many regulars in one place. Am I right? Am I right?
These tasting menus can cost hundreds of dollars per head. You'll be seated, and normally you're seated at a table with a bird's eye view of the chefs.
And Gregory's like, and most importantly, there are no second chances. Ironically, both of us have had second chances standing up here, both me and Kristen, but they made me say that anyway, so there you have it.
Too bad you failed at yours, Gregory. Anyway, just remember, diners at a chef's table are treated like the ultimate non-gales, also known as VIPs.
Even though you're not feeding a lot of people, you're basically feeding a lot of gales. You're handling everything. You're the waitstaff. You're the hostess. You're the lady who answers the phone and says, Padma Lakshmi, oh my God, this is all I've been dreaming of. Can I get your autograph, your picture?
One of you will obviously have to hose down Gail if she gets into the honey, but usually that doesn't happen these days. Anyway, you'll have to make basically the equivalent of Gail at a Baskin and Robbins, a 7-course tasting menu.
And we're going to choose teams doing it Portland style, wandering around the city, not knowing what anything is. Just kidding. That was Portland snot style. This way is a flip of a coin. Dawn, you want to be the first to flip?
Wow, it's amazing that Portland invented the flip of a coin. What an amazing city. Actually, it used to be you flipped a beat, and if you got the beat tops, that was heads, and the beat itself was tails. But we decided we didn't want to do that because it's stupid, so we're just going to go flip of the coin.
We used to flip mushrooms, but, you know, there are just so many different kinds here, none of them would land flat.
We used to take a cup of Stumptown coffee and flip it in the air, and if the coffee got on Gail's face, well, we would just laugh.
Everyone wins. So so they flipped the coins, and Byron, Shota, Jamie, and Maria are on one team, and that leaves Gabe, Sarah, Don, and Chris on another team. And so Shota's like, to be honest, the other team has more strength in cooking, but we have a funner team.
How are you? Hey, dumb people, how do you feel about your team and the fact that none of you are famous? And Sarah's like, well, we all love each other. What could go wrong, right? Whatever. Tomorrow, you'll have $2,500 to shop at Whole Foods Market in person. I guess I really have to hose it down after all you normal folk get through there.
So they start planning their menus and their restaurants. And Byron's team is like, hey, let's do a fusion of basically us, you know, Latin and Asian. And Maria's like, Lasian, which I liked. It sounds like a new process to get rid of, you know, the pores on my nose or something. I'm into it.
Well, it's close to ablation. So Shota, he's used to doing kaiseki, which is like multi-course Japanese style meal. And he's like, what? And they're like, let's do that with a Latin spin. So immediately they have a really good concept, and they're just like working well together. And like, not only are they working well together, there's none of that like Portland snot thing, which is honestly not even limited to him, where there's like
Gabriel,
one dude.
Gabe.
Yeah, but they're not even doing like that thing where someone says, like, hey, we should do a fatty thing. And someone goes, well, I'm not really comfortable working with that. And they say, well, you should do it anyway. There's none of that. Instead, Maria's like, well, I can do it. And like, cool, you do it. So it's like, I was like, oh, this is so refreshing, right, to see this. And they come up with a really sweet name for it, which is Kokozon, because Kokoro is, I just said that as if I can speak Japanese. I don't know how to speak Japanese, but it's Kokoro. I'm like, Kokoro. All of a sudden, I'm like, let me try to do a proper Japanese accent. I'm probably saying it wrong. But it's Japanese for heart, and Corazon is Mexican for heart. So I was like, I love this team. Also, because it has Shota, it has Maria, it has Jamie. Byron is fine. I don't really have an opinion on Byron. But the other three, I like love. So I was so excited.
Yeah. So then the other team is like, you know, the bossy one on this team is, of course, Gabe.
Gabe.
You know, one Gabe. Asshole down. So now we can highlight the other asshole, and his name is Gabe. And Gabe is not as overt of an asshole as Portland's not, but he's still like bossy. And then he doesn't take the blame when his stuff goes wrong.
Exactly.
Like, he purposely diverts away from it, which was really obnoxious. So they decide they're going to just do a basic seafood restaurant, right?
Yeah.
And Sarah, and they say, we'll have a global perspective. And Sarah's like, I've seen other top chefs, and the global perspective never works out, but seafood is perfect for the chef's table.
And she's right. The moment they're like, well, let's just do like seafood, and then we can all just like do our thing with each dish. I'm like, have you guys ever seen this show? Do you guys know how every time a team does this on Restaurant Wars, it always fails? And I was like, the reason why is because I don't believe that Gabe is a team player. I think his whole, and by the way, he also lost in that movie theater challenge too, right? And his whole thing, I feel like he's very much out for himself. So I think he wanted to propose a theme so that way he could just do what he wants to do and doesn't have to make any concessions to anyone else, which is also explains why he decides to do an amuse-bouche, which was not called for, right? But he needs to showcase himself some more. And then he likes to wrap it up in a bow by saying, well, you know, my thought is to find a common ground that we can all cook on. I'm like, watch him not find the common ground at all. Watch him not at all find a common ground.
Yeah, his common ground is like, give me another reason to make a mole or to make a sauce and call it mole, whether it is or not, right? So they go over and everything they're doing is wrong, okay? Yeah. Like what you've already said. And then Chris is like, hey, how about for main I do a penne pasta? Which I'm like, no. You don't serve these people a pasta. You've already fucked up a pasta, and you're going to serve a pasta at a chef's tasting. They're not going to be into a penne. I can tell you that right now. And then
Restaurant Wars is not the time for redemption, by the way.
Right. And it's also generally not the time for penne. You know, I feel like the most, as much as these people make pasta,
it's also not the time for penne.
It's just really not. I mean, the chefs, it's very rare that the chefs are going to be like, wow, The pasta is great. Usually they're like, this sucks, right? It's very difficult to get them to love a pasta.
Yeah.
I mean, last year was Italy, so they like literally did Exacto. Love the pasta. They had them do it. Yeah.
Exacto.
But normally, I think pasta, they're not into. So also, this is the nail in the coffin. When Gabe goes, actually, Penny, my daughter's name is Penny. Let's name our restaurant Penny. Oh, fuck you.
Fuck
you. So now you're going to boss everybody around and name it after your daughter, who's also named after the girl from Inspector Gadget. I never liked her. Okay.
And
I never
liked Happy Penny. Endings. It's Casey Wilson's role.
Okay. Well, I like her. You're She's Penny. Very talented.
Yes.
Okay,
no, okay. And I
You've
love
evened
Penny
it
Hart.
Out.
I love Penny Hart. But I was like, no, don't besmirch Penny Hart with your shitty restaurant, you know, from Top Chef. Okay. Gabe. So Shota wants to make a hot pot. I don't know why I wrote that down, but I felt it was important to experience that emotion. And then, so now Gabe says, okay, I got so mad. So Gabe says he wants to do an amuse-bouche. And I'm already mad because I can already sense he's trying to do a flex, right? And I'm like, oh, this guy, he comes in, he tells everyone what the theme is going to be. And then he's going to do an amuse-bouche flex, right? And then if things go wrong, he's going to be the first one. Like things are going to go wrong because of this amuse-bouche flex. And then he's going to escape scot-free, which, spoiler alert, is exactly what happens.
Yes, and he's also doing the flex in only his own style that he does every single time. It's like, okay, dude, let me guess. Your flex is going to include a homemade tortilla topped with lame shit. And it is. That's exactly what it is. It's a too thick little tortilla that's not made right, topped with too much shit. And Sarah and Don both tell him, they're like, that's too much. Like, we've already got 7 courses. Like, having an extra before we start, I think it's going to be too much. Like, if you put something down, they're going to judge that thing, you know, and people are always getting kicked off for putting way too much on the table. And they're right. You know, obviously they've watched this show because that happens all the time.
Also, I feel like in the history of Top Chef, no one knows how to make a proper amuse-bouche. They always make something that's basically the size of like, it's like a sushi boat. Yeah. It's like, it's a bite, you know, and, you know, spoiler, later on when he starts to make his amuse-bouche and he's like making these little, he's making, his tostada, you know, tortillas. I'm like, it's supposed to be one bite and that is 4 to 5 bites, what I'm seeing there. Like, you idiot. So Gabe he's saying like, you know, we're trying to create a concept we can all cook and use seafood as the common platform. I'm like, that's not enough. That's like not enough for Restaurant Wars to be like, oh, it's just the theme is seafood. It doesn't really work that way.
And I was really worried for Chris because not only did he do a pasta dish, but he takes dessert, which can be the kiss of death on this show too.
Yeah.
So Sarah's like, well, I think for that dessert, we need to incorporate seafood somehow. Preferably kelp. It's like, what? So then, Byron or seaweed. She said seaweed, right?
Yeah.
So then Byron's like, Byron's team is like, we need someone who coordinates. We need someone who's coordinating the bussing the tables, the delivering the food.
No one can tell.
Yeah, they're planning it. And the other team, we cut to the other team and Sarah goes, I think someone should be in charge of like stuff out here. Like what's actually going on? And Gabe's like, no, I think we should just do it all hands on deck. Okay. She goes, okay, so no plan is the best plan. He's like, yeah. Okay, so let's just note that Gabe is the one who said they shouldn't plan or have anything planned, and they shouldn't have any more of a theme than they've had, and that they should force feed everybody a too big amuse-bouche. Okay,
and also notice this is like the 5th time this season where a woman has been like, I think we should do, you know, X, and the guy is like, no, and it's like on the losing team. It's like one of the reasons why there was a loss, you know, it's driving me absolutely nuts. So now it's like, they're going to go, they're going to get to shop and stuff. And Maria's excited because she's like, I've never been so excited to shop because it's not my money. Says Shota in the background.
And Maria goes, can we do stumps? Which I like. I like that the whole stump theme really got to Maria. She's like, I like stumps now. Okay, that's what I learned here.
She's into them. So it's like a quick montage of everyone like shopping here, shopping there, and Shota has a very aggressive plastic bag ripping approach at the supermarket. Did you notice that?
I do it that way.
Yeah, do you really?
That's how you do it.
Like, I want to learn it because you know what? I always pull the plastic bag on the roll. So what he did was he pulls it, you know, the bag that's on the roll that's like above the veggies. He pulled it and then he just did like this really swift chop that just totally separated it. It was like, and I was like, oh my God. Cause I'm always like, okay, I'm going to pull it. And now we're going to have a nice gentle tug. Oh, we're halfway through the perforation. Everyone want to gather around, see how this turns out. Here we go.
No, I try to be
to really make sure this happens steadily. Okay.
I see people do it like Shota and I'm like, I'm going to do it like that. And so I grab it and I just go, and then the whole thing like starts unraveling all over everything. I'm like, oh, Who left this like this?
I fully see myself trying to do the Shota chop and like I'll do the Shota chop and I'll miss the perforation. So I'll just get the side of the bag. So it'll probably just like get like tug the entire thing or just have to maybe knock it off its hinges entirely. So that's why I'm afraid to do it.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Oh, so they're talking about each other's teams. So Maria's like, you know what? The other team is strong. They've won a lot. Holy shnikes, they've won a lot. Which is weird because me and my sister say that. I thought we invented it. But I guess we're much more Tommy unoriginal Boy. Than we thought.
Tommy
oh, really?
Boy. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm an idiot. Okay. And she goes, but you know what? I'm completely, utterly honest. I don't give a rat's ass.
No, that's funny because my brother and I always say rat's ass. And I'm pretty sure we invented that one.
God literally invented. Gaudy Boy invented that.
Guys, we have invented so many sayings. It's like between the two of us. And then on top of that, Portland inventing flipping a coin. Wow.
I just can't believe me and my sister quote Tommy Boy without even knowing it. I mean, that's like as pathetic as I've ever been, I have to say.
Yeah, well, that's okay. It's part of pop culture. It happens. Ugh. So I don't know if Tommy Boy invented it, but I'm pretty sure that's a Chris Farley-ism. So now it's nighttime and they're drinking wine at the hotel, perhaps from the Chilato family of wines. And then they're planning their menu and Dawn's having issues trying to figure out what her Johnny cake is going to be and doesn't really know what her dish is yet. And Gabe is like, he's doing that hands-off thing where he's saying, well, whatever represents you, kind of like, I'll let you just die. Like, you can dig your own grave. I'm, you know.
Yeah, I'm not gonna... he is.
That's he what is he's doing. He's not trying to help or give inspiration or talk it through or anything like that.
Yeah. So she's not sure what she's going to do, which is scary. I'm scared for her.
I'm scared too.
And Gabe is like, well, you know, typically you have a front of house person, but we're more into non-intrusive service here. Oh my God. When have you ever met a foodie that says, God, you know what I really want? Non-intrusive service. Yeah. They want to have their ass kissed the entire time, especially at a chef's table.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to point out that there's a goldfish hopping around outside and it is adorable. It's like the Shota of birds. You know, every day I've got another animal out there.
your regular Snow White. So Byron and Shota are coordinating the back of the house. And then Maria is going to be Maria dealing with all the guests, which, you know, could be trouble. Depends on what kind of mood she's in, I guess.
I was like, okay.
She could just be out there. Are you crying again, Maria?
Maria, does this bring a tear to your eye? How about we talk about your wife, the firefighter, huh? Oh, look, tears for Maria. Anyone got some tissues? Gail, stop eating them. Maria needs them.
So at nighttime, Shota is telling us that the last challenge, he couldn't find inspiration, and it's hard for him to take criticism because one time a critic came to his restaurant and said that he needs to learn texture, acidity, and heat, which isn't even a part of Japanese food. And he's like, so there are so many things that haven't even been introduced to the States yet, you know, and I'm here to show that motherfucker.
And then we see a picture of the critic and it's basically Padma with like a mustache on and glasses. Did I make sure to cry? Sorry.
With the headline, needs more ketchup.
Did you mean to not have acidity, heat, or texture, Shota? By Ninu Matamid.
Oh, so they go to Whole Foods to do some shopping, okay? And Maria's like, going to Whole Foods feels orgasmic. Which, the first time I went to Whole Foods in this whole thing was kind of, I was like, oh my God, look at all these fresh croissants.
I know, being able to pick out your vegetables instead of having to rely on Instacart was actually extremely exciting. So now we get the first of many, many references to what I thought was going to be the disaster of the evening, because it was referenced so much. The warm towels.
The essential oils for warm towels. So it's like, oh no, this is going to be the scented candle of this
episode. That's what I thought. I was like, it's the vanilla candle that happened how many years ago, but like haunts me to this day. Like, I actually went to a coffee shop a few years ago and they had vanilla candles. And I was like, do you not realize people are eating here? Did you not learn anything from Top Chef coffee shop? So I thought for sure it was going to be like, oh, the scent from those warm towels is going to be a problem and Tom's going to complain. Because it was like every scene was like, how are those warm towels coming? Hey, guys, we got to get ready. We got to fold those warm towels. We got to warm the towels. Oh, look, there are the warm towels.
Yeah. So we go over to Cocoson, to where everybody's setting up and cooking. And Shota is like, anyone seen these Japanese eggplants? That is not a sex joke.
So their plan is that Shota's gonna, in order of the dishes, Shota's gonna make a Japanese eggplant with a sesame mole from Maria. Byron's gonna make a sakai crudo with like a ricotta curry sauce. And Maria's gonna make her lengua sando with pickled mustard. And Shota then is gonna do like a lotus root tempura. Jamie's gonna do a short rib. And then they're all gonna come together for a hot pot. And then Byron and Jamie are gonna make a tres leches cake. So honestly, their entire menu just sounded great. It all made sense. It was like one of the most coherent Restaurant Wars menus we've ever seen. Like already, not even seeing how it's going to turn out. We could all just tell like this all makes sense. So I was very happy because they were kind of selling themselves as the underdog. And I was like, I think this is going to work out for them.
Well, thank you for writing that all down. I took screenshots because they put the whole thing up on the screen, you know? So yeah. I took a screenshot so I wouldn't have to write it down. And the screenshot I have is Maria. It's Maria cooking while they're putting up the dishes. And it's just Maria holding a gigantic tongue over a pot. And, you know, I'm from El Paso. So I've had the tongue, okay? Yeah. I've had every part of the cow over the course of my life. Do not love it, but I've had it. But my first thought was, God, it's nice to see a tongue bigger than mine. Like, seriously, I thought I had the biggest tongue, but this is a lower arm.
Yeah, it's a big, big tongue. So over at Penny, I really don't like that name for a restaurant, Penny. I don't know why. It's just not working for me.
Well, it's just because it's like the lowest common denomination. You know, come on, guys.
It is. It's like, I like the name Penny, but I don't like it because Gabe came up with it for a restaurant. Like Chris says Penny, and then he says, oh, well, Penny. And then that's suddenly supposed to be like the name. And like, there's like no connection to what they're actually serving. Like,
maybe. Yeah, like, is your daughter a lobster? Like, I don't get it.
I don't get it. So they're decorating, and Sarah's talking about how she has like no front of house experience, but guess what? They're excited for the warm cloths. What could go wrong? Warm cloths.
Yeah. And then Jamie, so many notes. Jamie loves her menu. Okay. And then Dawn is still trying to finalize what she's making, which is worrying everybody. And Chris is like, yeah, I mean, it's difficult, you know, because she can't communicate with us how this is even going to fit in with the rest of the team. And Sarah's nervous and just their whole juju is not good. There on that.
And also maybe Dawn doesn't want to communicate because she's seen what has happened when women on the show have communicated and the guys just like shoot them down. Like, you need to add this, add that. So this is what their rundown is. So it's going to start with Dawn doing some sort of crab and caviar dish. Sarah's going to do a halibut. And then there's going to be Dawn's going to do a scallop with tasso ham XO. And then Sarah's going to do a pak choi with salmon skin. And Chris is going to do his shrimp-filled pasta, which is not a penne. And then Gabe is going to do charred and grilled octopus. And then Chris is going to end with kelp ice cream with cocoa nib meringue.
Yeah. And so Shota's like, I'm making more dashi if anybody needs it. And Maria's so like, nice. Yes, I could do it. I could do it for my mole.
I was literally like, Ronnie, this guy is, he just made extra dashi just to be nice. Like, this is Shota not an angel? Is he not just like the sweetest thing we've ever seen on this show?
Yeah. So then Gabe is doing
it. Okay.
I mean, it's dashi. You know what I mean? Like, if it was muffins, it's like, he's not a neighbor like bringing a basket of muffins over. It's like a neighbor going, hey, I have some dashi. Want some? Get the fuck out of my house, sir. Try harder next time.
Well, listen, anytime you've had a meal with Gail Simmons, you'll come to appreciate any extra of any ingredient. Am I right, everyone?
I've never seen anybody dashi through a meal faster than Gail.
Bless her heart. So, cooking. Dawn's going to make a crispy corn cake with a crab salad. And everything's, Maria says, this is one of her best moles. And now, so now Gabe is working on his amuse. And which for some reason, it also bothers me when chefs just call it amuse instead of amuse-bouche. I don't know why. There's nothing wrong with it. It makes sense. It's a perfect abbreviation. But there's just something. It's like when people call Nicolas Cage Nick Cage. I'm like, you don't know Nicolas Cage. You can't just call him Nick Cage.
And you can't just change his numerology. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gabe is like, you know, but the judges really need a snack pre-first course. And, you know, my cooking to me is just like, it's like having a baby.
God. Yeah, a very oversized baby that does not fit. You know, I even wrote down, I said, that's a big tostada for an amuse. Oh, see, look, I wrote amuse. I did it. See, this is why I hate it. I hate it because it made me say amuse instead of amuse-bouche.
So then Maria's like, don't worry about the front of the house, because once Maria steps out of the kitchen, Maria is going to come out. I'm like Monica from Friends. It's like, wow, I never would have chosen that for you. I never would have been like, you know what? Maria's a real Monica.
So, yeah, and Shota's like, so, like, at chef's tables, you just basically can't be loud. She's like, huh?
It means no crying, sad face.
So they've got 2 hours left, everybody. So Chris is telling us how he's failed with pasta, so he wants redemption. And last time he stuck to the familiar yolk dough that he's familiar with, and he failed. So this time he's going to use whole eggs.
Chris.
And I just wrote, uh-oh. I mean, Chris, look, it's pasta. You failed already. And now you're talking about adding more eggs. You know what Gail hates? Eggs that aren't done right. I've never seen Gail more mad than burnt, charred, rubbery eggs. Like, she was furious. Okay.
Yeah. Chris, you want redemption, so you're going to change it up from how you normally do it. Restaurant Wars is the worst place to do your redemption. Okay. It's a high pressure environment. Wait for another quick fire. Do it on a quick fire where there's like low stakes, you know? Don't do it now. Don't do it now.
Yeah. So then Maria starts doing all the decor because the chefs are too busy. And at first she's freaking out because no one's helping her, but then they do help her. And so she's like, wow, look at that. I didn't see that happening.
But she's not even that mad, because she's like, well, you know what? If they don't answer me, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
She's like, fine. So then we go over to Sarah, who's using salmon skin on her dish because it's unexpected, I guess.
Well, that's what she says. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, wow, it's completely unexpected. Salmon yogurt. So Sarah is tasting the kelp and vanilla ice cream. And she's like, too bland, more kelp. And I was really worried for that ice cream.
Yeah, I was worried for the ice cream and for Dawn's dish too, because they keep on saying how no one's tasted Dawn's. Oh, no, the time has come and gone to taste Dawn's.
Yeah, and Jamie's behind, and Shota's team is, everybody's tasting each other's thing and really liking it. But Maria's like, is there no acidity in that? And he goes, oh my God, I forgot the pickled shallots. Which is why, as he points out, it's super important to try each other's food and be involved in each other's dishes, right?
Yeah. Also, I thought he was going to have a meltdown because he had already explained his trauma about, you know, Padma coming into his restaurant saying there was no acidity. And now Maria saying, oh, is there no acidity? I was like, don't say that in front of Shota.
Yeah. There's no acidity, texture, or heat. That's weird. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh. He's in a little ball on the ground. Like, wow, he cries just like he laughs.
So now the judges arrive at Kokosan. And Padma has sort of like a bob for today. And the chefs are, you know, they're greeting everyone, and Gail's like, look at us in a restaurant. I'd rather not look at you, Gail. I mean, for crying out loud, did you have to wear that ridiculous frock? Bless her heart.
Gail, you can stop moving in slow motion now. We're inside the restaurant. Actually, Gail, I don't know if Gail took some edibles before she came today, but Gail is just like, oh, yes, here we are in the restaurant. I love it. I love the food. This is delicious. It's like, who is tickling Gail?
Gail's having a great time.
She really is.
So they're all served like a matcha limonada, just, you know, just sort of whet their appetites. And Pam's like, cheers to everyone. Cheers to even Dale over there. Look. What are the odds that Dale's going to ask for 5 bowls of ice cream by the end of the night? Cheers to Dale.
Well, I can't drink too many of those. And Carol's like, oh, it's super sweet. Gulp, 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 gulp.
Listen, everyone, if you can't finish your matcha limonada, don't worry. Just send them down to Gail. She'll help you out. Bless her heart.
The garbage disposal, am I right? I'm really excited about this menu. Gail's like, oh my god, I want this, I want this. I can't wait for that. And that is always my fucking favorite.
It's like, who are you? What happened to Gail?
Did somebody give Gail an Olive Garden menu? Look how excited she is.
Did Gail just win a free croissant sandwich off the back of her Coke? She's really happy today.
So there's like some banter. And I guess I think it was Richard or someone
Blaze
says.
The worst. He's the worst at all times.
At all times. You tell him what happened.
Well, we had a five person restaurant war on our season, but we had to cook for 500 people, Maria. And she goes, wow. Okay. You know, sorry. He goes, oh no, we love a server who interrupts. It's like, oh my God, jackass. You're like a jackass on 10 different fronts right now.
So many. So now the first dish comes out. It's the eggplant with the sesame mole. And wow, it's so flavorful. I love this. Sorry, Gail. This one's all going to be for me.
Really good. It's really good.
Someone coked Gail up. I'm just putting that out there. And Kristen loves the technique in the dish. And Gail's like, this is one of her best moles yet. It is one of her best. And
does anyone have a bucket of ice sweater? I know that challenge was about 7 years ago, but it's never too late. Okay, someone needs to dunk it on her. She's a little too overactive.
And Shota's kind of getting snappy in the kitchen. He's like, I need the sauce. Puppy, puppy, puppy. And he's kind of snapping. And Blaze is like, whoa, it's a little drama over there, guys. They're running it a little loose. Okay, guys?
A little drama. Okay. We'll be back after the break. I'm like, no, you don't get to cue the commercial break on this one, Richard. It's not your show.
So let's see here. Who's next? So they're kind of just cracking up at Shota, right? Amir's like, look at Shota coming for everybody. They're like, get it over here.
No, they said they liked Shota because he calmed everyone down.
Oh, I put coming at everybody.
No, because they were all antic, and then Shota went over there and he's like, what's going on, guys? No yelling. And then everyone's like, aw, Shota. So then the next dish is Byron's cured salmon with ricotta sauce. And Kwame is at a loss for words. At Padma goes, ooh, I just got a hit of passion fruit. Anyone else got a hit of passion fruit?
And Dale says it's one of the best curries he's ever had in his entire life. And Greg goes, well, the lingering heat is too much for a second course for me. And I was like, whoa. Low energy slam from Gregory. Did not see that one coming. Next up,
I think I'd take your criticism a little bit more seriously if you'd actually won All-Stars, Gregory.
Listen, sweater person. Nobody can hear you down there unless you speak up. So next, Shota's little tiny sandwiches are coming, and Blaze goes, wow, we get all dressed up and we get tongue sandwiches. Thanks for that.
And Maria goes, it's me again, the Mexican. And then Carrie, who's there, says, you know, I am a sucker for anything dipped. I mean, can I dip it in? I'm in, you know? It's almost like dipping ingredients into a hole in the snow, and then you pull out an entire baked cake. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? Oh, that's right. I did do that, guys. I did.
Well, guys, sandwich is like foreplay. You want the fun up first, right? Huh? So, you know, basically, this is like a sandwich blowjob after anal, which I don't really understand. Anyone? Should I keep going with this? This is basically like getting a sandwich after you make out with somebody instead of after you hold their hand. Anybody?
Tom, you're going backwards from anal, okay? Keep up.
I think this is the best tongue I've ever tasted. And that includes Hugh Dancy's, which I enjoyed in the Maldives in 2004. Am I right, everyone? Anyone? Anyone?
Well, when you start with Salman Rushdie as your first, of course, any tongue is good. Wow, Gail, look at Gail. Who lit a little fire into Gail's ice cream butt?
We give her a little bit of matcha limonada and she's on fire.
Nice work, Gail.
Nice work, Gail. Now wipe that curry off your chin.
So Sarah's is like, I'm so nervous about service. Everyone's okay with it. I mean, maybe I'm just worried about nothing. I just feel like the world is on fire and I'm the only person that knows. A storm is coming! A storm is coming!
So she basically is like, wow, she goes up to Gabe and she's like, your amuse is really big. And he goes, is it so big? Oh, sorry, I couldn't make it any smaller. I'm like, you literally could make it smaller. You are the chef. You did not have to make your tortillas that big. Like, we've all had tiny little tortilla things. We've had them.
And even if you've made them too big, you cut them down into smaller. It's a tortilla, sir.
it's a tortilla. Bouche. He made a normal size thing for crying out loud. And on top of that, she's like, it's just that it's larger than our two dishes, right? And it's like, again, kind of showing up. It's like he's saying it's an amuse-bouche, but what he really wants to do is be first in line and be like, this is me. This is Gabe. It's so obnoxious.
This guy just wants a lot of credit for a fucking corn tortilla, okay? And he does it in every episode. It's a fucking corn tortilla, dude. It's maize and water. Can we stop acting like you're Jesus Christ, okay? It's one of the easiest things to make.
Over back over at like the best team of all time, Gail is loving the pacing. She's like, I'm loving this pacing. You know, this is a ballet, not a rodeo. Well, either way, I'm sure you bring a hot dog to both. Am I right, everyone?
Ballet, not a rodeo, huh? I'm sure that's the actual opposite of any dance recital you were ever in.
Oh, you should have seen the time she brought a whole bowl of chili to the Met. Wow, what a scene that caused.
And Blaze goes, oh, yes! Food on a tree stump, finally.
Just you're not funny, up. Richard. You're not funny.
You're just an asshole.
You're just...
So then... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say you're just awful. That's all.
He sucks. So Lotus Root is next. And Tom's like, well, the texture is good. So there's that.
I like the umi paste a lot. Is this umi paste famous for anything? What films has this umi paste been in? Anyone?
Hold on. Let me call my dear friend, Angela Merkel. She might not be away because she lives in a different time zone. She's just fancy like that. Hold on. Angela, guess what? I had an amazing umi paste. Yeah, pass it along. Okay, and it did have acid, and it did have heat, and it did have texture. Yeah, it wasn't like that terrible restaurant I went to once. Anyway, bye.
So over with Jamie, Jamie's like, oh my God, I get nervous when people stare at me when I cook, so I'm feeling, tea's ready. Tea's ready. It's pressure on my brain. So Maria serves everybody tequila, and Padman goes, you're killing it, by the way.
You're just like Gail sniffing out hard-boiled eggs at the Golden Corral. You're just killing it, doing it so well. Keep up the good work. Oh, are you crying? Did I make you cry by accident? Oh, so sorry.
Well, you know, I just want to treat you like you're in Tucson. No, please don't do that. Okay, you've officially gone too far.
You've ruined it. What part of me looks like I ever want to be in Tucson? A city that's known as the home of the chimichanga. Are you serious right now?
Listen, last time I was in Tucson, I said, where do chimichangas come from? And nobody answered me. I'm done with Tucson.
Tucson, more like too soon. Get out of my face.
So Jamie's short rib comes out, and Byron has done the sauce. Everybody's basically done each other's dish, right? Everybody's worked together. And he says, oh, the sauce is more pungent than Chipotle.
Oh, it's Gail's bio.
I didn't see that one coming. Also from Gail's bio is my next comment about this food. I think it's lovely, but I think it's a lot.
Then Shota brings out the hapa, which is the family style dish that they did, the kind of stew they all did. And Padme goes, woo! Ooh.
And then it goes to commercial. Like, what? Was there like a foot in that pot? Why are we having a commercial break?
Ooh. Hold on, America. You're going to have to wait to see what this one is. It's real good.
So the family style incorporates all of us, they tell her. And Gail's like, well, all the seafood, you got everything in this dish. It's comforting. It's soulful.
it's more pungent than Chipotle.
I love that's traditional and homey, just like your fashion sense, girl.
And Pat, you know, it's harmonious and delicious. And Maria's like, I'm very proud to be part of this team.
Yeah. And Tom goes, no, it's, you know, it's pretty fucking good.
This is like getting a blowjob at just the right time. Like, okay, thanks, Tom.
Something I've never said about one of my son's cocktails. It's pretty fucking good. Pretty fucking good.
So the Trust Let Us cake is next. And Jamie has steamed the cake and it's egg-based. And she goes, brr, chick, 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 chick. And there's fresh pineapple for beep, beep, beep. And Kristen's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, this is your first time encountering Jamie, right? And Kristen's like, wow. Wow. So they put this beautiful tres leche cake in front of them. And Gail's like, that looks really good. Gail, are you looking at a good humor truck again? Or are you actually focusing on the competition?
I'm Carrie. And this basil is so creative. Is there anything I can dip this basil in? Because I love dipping things. I love it.
Oh, man. I almost makes me wish I had incorporated basil into the cheesecake that I baked in snow. I baked a cake in something that is the opposite of heat, and I made a cake out of it. Wish
you
I know,
I do have one question about this dish. Was this cooked above ground? Yes or no? Okay, I thought so. Well, you know, it was still good. Still good.
So this was steamed. And was it? Did you incorporate snow in any sort of way? Oh, no? Huh. Okay.
Well, you know, there's an effort, though. So I love effort. So Byron is... Byron goes back to Jamie and he's like, wow, Gail said this is exactly how she wanted to end the meal. And Jamie's like, pew, 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 pew.
Byron, don't get too excited. There's no such thing of an end of a meal when we're talking about Gail Simmons. It's more of just like a spectrum of time.
It's intermission. So.
Again, we just want to reiterate, we love Gail Simmons and we do not think that she's an overeater or fat. We just think that this is...
This is bad for being mean. No, don't explain it anymore. Just let people get mad. I say we explain it once a season and that's it.
It's our fictional version of Padma. So Padma goes, this is an extraordinary meal. And Tom says, you know, they really raised the bar for any restaurant wars that's ever going to be in the future. I'm like, that's because there were no customers, Tom. There was only you guys. It was the easiest. I mean, it was hard, but it was also the easiest restaurant wars they've ever had. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And Padma goes, from start to finish. And then, of course, guess what Maria's doing? Crying. She's like, we had our hearts in those menus. We had our corazons in those menus. Cocarons.
Cocarons for life. Okay, everyone, time to draw blood. I was like, whoa, Maria, I think you're getting a little bit too into this cocasson thing.
So then we go over to Penny. And Dawn is like, does this taste hammy? And Gabe's like, yeah. And Sarah's still freaking out. And Padma comes in. She's like, wow, it looks beautiful too. Love the driftwood. You know, I really don't tell you that enough, Gail.
Wow, I love all the Gail they put on the tables. Driftwood, I mean.
So Gabe is like, well, welcome to Penny. You as you can probably tell by the name Penny, this is a seafood restaurant. And it's going to celebrate the Pacific Northwest. Oh, great. Wow, real original. A seafood restaurant in Portland. I'm sure they have none of these around here.
And it's global influenced. Wow. Salmon skin and bok choy. And Greg goes, wow, this reads really, really well.
So here come the warm towels, the scented towels. And I'm like waiting. I'm like, here it comes. Why did they put lavender in these towels? It's ruining the entire meal for me. I'm walking out. That's what I thought was going to happen. But instead, you just got a Padma. Wow.
I think maybe it was the scent, because this scent was Palo Santo, which is, you know, like a nice, peaceful, burning a stick in your house kind of a scent.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what Palo Santo meant.
Palo Santo, I think those are those sticks that you burn, right? You buy them, they look like little tiny
Palo Santo.
2x4s.
Palo Santo.
And you burn those. Yeah. Wow.
Wow, Palo Santo.
Not to be confused with the Pellegrino family of sparkling waters.
And Gabe's like, well, we know you're messy, so we wanted to just clean you up a little bit. And like, whoa, that's bold. That's bold, Gabe.
That's bold. But to be fair, Gail does seem to have some sort of a brownie smudged on her face. Could someone tend to Gail, please?
Well, I thought it was really thoughtful that they presented me with a non-alcoholic beverage. So that was great.
And Gail, meanwhile, Dale's like, bring over more of that tequila. We still got any of that.
I know.
Oh, he was getting tanked.
Gregory, I know you like to think that is a consideration, but actually, they only reserve alcohol for winners.
So, first up is the
Amuse.
Gabe Amuse-Bouche, the heirloom tostada with cute heirloom snapper.
Why does that annoy me? Heirloom corn tostada.
Because it's fucking annoying. It's like, what's the...
Did he make his own masa, do you think? Is that possible? No.
I mean, you can make it, but why? You know? Like, I don't think he would have had time to, like, dry it and do all that.
But it's also like, why? Just use masa, right?
Yeah.
Heirloom corn tostada with fat bastard oyster and cured snapper. Stop. Listen, Gail, how did you get into this oyster? Gail?
And Gail's like, I like the flavor, but it's very weighted down by the size. Anyone want to take that?
Oh, it's like the time that Gail actually sat on her HelloFresh box. Am I right?
Kristen says it's not crisp and light or easy. And Gabe's like, oh my God, fuck, they didn't like that. And Dawn's like, if you could help me, that would be great. And there's a lot of stress in the kitchen because Gabe knows that they hate him now. And Don's not getting any help. And everyone's freaking out, basically. And Don's like, huh, something's going wrong. It's almost like my son was confronted with an actual education.
And then, of course, the Cardinal sit on Restaurant Wars, not paying attention to Padma.
You know, they're less relaxed. And nobody's here. Nobody's here in front of me right now. No one I can make cry. Why? Why are we even here if we can't make someone cry?
They're doing their job, and they're not interacting, which is not good. So the warm crab salad and corn puff comes out with an island coconut sauce. And this is, what's her buns? Sarah's,
Dawn's,
right?
It's Dawn's.
Oh, this is Dawn's, yeah.
And my first thought was, doesn't this look exactly like what Gabe did, right? And it's annoying because, well, I mean, Dawn didn't really say what she was doing. But that being said, it wouldn't have felt like as much of a conflict if he had made something the proper size. And second of all, he could have communicated a little bit more with her about this. So, and also, we're going from like a tostada to a corn puff in island coconut sauce. It sort of doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Right. And they look very similar just because of the round corn thing in the middle, right? But hers is the right size.
And
so Dale... Yeah, and Dale's like, wow, what a welcome surprise. Strong contrast to that tostada, am I right? And Melissa goes, yeah, this should have been the Amuse. Interesting. The first course is a toasted tostada compared to the bigger Amuse Bouche. I'm very, very confused. Usually the bigger people follow the smaller people inside. Am I right, Gail, or did I just get that wrong because my brain is frozen from so much slow motion enterings?
So Melissa feels very detached, and there's no interaction with the chefs. And now Sarah's plating, and Kwame's like, that better be yogurt over there. So she comes out with a halibut crudo with ajo blanco sauce. And Dale is really mad. He's like, there is no connection between the first dish and the second dish at all. But I would like a third bowl of that, please. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Gregory says it was raw, and then it was cooked, and then it was raw again, which doesn't make sense in the progression. And Amir, this is crazy to get this from Amir. He's like,
Amar, yeah.
Amar, sorry. He's like, I didn't enjoy it at all. It's like, wow, that's something from you, because normally he's the most positive.
I know. Amar, you licked your entire bowl. Well, you know, I have to keep up
with
that. That's
what
I do. That's
what I do. I have the addiction to a bowl. What can I say?
I just love the feeling of tongue on bowl. What can I say?
Now, you know, to me, this is like a Grateful Dead concert. It needed acid. Also, a blowjob before the anal. If that makes it. Is that working yet? Anybody? Anybody?
Listen, Tom, I'm dear friends with Ali Wong. I've worked with Ali Wong. I've asked Ali Wong, what is chop suey? And you, sir, are no Ali Wong.
I love a good Ali Wong read. Tom's like, what the hell did I do?
A good Ali Wong, Lloyd Benson reference.
So, wait, what? Don't explain it.
He was the vice presidential candidate under Mondale, and he was the one who originated that famous thing of like, I knew Jack Kennedy. I worked with Jack Kennedy, and you, sir, I know Jack Kennedy.
Oh, thank you. God, every day is an education at this show.
I hope his name is Lloyd Benson. I'd be really embarrassed if I got it. No, it's Lloyd Benson. Okay, anyway, so now it's time for Dawn's Scallop with Creole XO, and Dale basically does the Amar, and he's now sipping from his bowl. A lot of bowl sipping this season. And Tom's like, well, had me at ham hock broth. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. That was actually part of Gail's vows, I believe. Had me at ham hock broth.
Yeah, that's Gail's film. Ham McGuire.
Jerry McStupid. It's like when
Jerry
I say
McHam hock.
It's like every time I encounter Gail in wardrobe, I say, Gail, help me help you.
You had me at ham hock. So Gail's like, so God, this is like one of the men that Padma would have sex with for their money. So much richness. Wow, nice try, Gail. All right, ham hock.
I marry for love, okay? Love. And there's no love like marrying and old man who must live in hiding for the rest of his life.
And Melissa is so jealous. So she's usually so critical of XO, and she's really jealous that she didn't create this one. And Sarah is like, Sarah's asking for help at the back. She's like, will you guys wipe my plates, please? I need help here. Tom's like, it's really quiet in here, and I don't even want to talk. So
it feels like my son's bar. It's really quiet in here. It's sort of empty. Sort of feels like the stain of failure is sort of hanging in the air.
So they're just standing there watching Sarah nervously hand blend her dish. It's like, yeah. Wow. And Gregory's like, this is a little tense over here. And Melissa says, I feel uncomfortable even sitting here. And Sarah's like, this is so ugly. God. And Dale's just wasted over at the table. Like,
fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. I don't even know what that guy is. Despicable me over there. Hey, settle down. Okay. So Sarah serves her crispy salmon skin and pak choy. And Carrie's like, oh, where's the rest of the salmon? Did you leave it in the hole in the snow? Is that where you were? Is it still cooking back there? Huh? She's like,
and Sarah's like, home. We're just saving it for dinner.
Oh, wow. Even her tears are made of yogurt. So Kristen is like, this just feels incomplete. It just feels like it needs salmon. And then, of course, Richard says this. He goes, yeah, and there was a real let them eat cake part of the presentation. Be like, oh, you get the skin, but we get the salmon. I'm like, Richard, it was a fucking joke for crying out loud. Yeah. I mean, yes, she should have included the salmon. But, like, you know, Richard, who spends the entire time bragging, who made them like that one team jump through hoops to make his like 10 course breakfast in that one challenge, and now he's gonna complain that someone's acting like Marie Antoinette.
Yeah. And Tom is the only one who really stands up for it. He's like, well, it was an oddball unexpected dish that works, unlike the oddball unexpected dish that we gave birth to in my family. So I give her credit.
It looks somewhat messy and not fussed with, you know. Oh yeah. Like Gail's fashions every single day.
So they, the pasta is getting ready. Chris is getting the pasta ready. And Donna's telling Sarah, should we go talk to them? And Sarah's like, what should we even talk to them about? This is so awkward.
I'm bored. Talk to me. Talk to me.
I need a non-famous person to throw a steak knife at for fun. Anyone?
Does anyone have a phone back there? I have to call my very good friend, Lita Waif.
So the tortellini brodo comes out, and Amar asks, do you have egg yolks in this pasta? And he's like, yes, yes, I do. Yes, I do, sir.
And in the future, please don't throw a bone at my head. I'm just trying to serve you serve you dinner.
So Tom is like, well, flavor-wise, it's good, but the pasta, not good. Not good. It's not there. And Padma says, yeah, why would you put this after the XO broth?
I mean, this is just a strange position in the progression. Strange position.
This is just strange. This is what an odd progression, right? It's like watching Gail throughout the day. You just say, wow, what is she thinking? What a strange progression of events.
So Tom's like, well, their point of view is seafood, but there's nothing tying it together other than, seafood, which I guess I'm kind of messing up my own point, but you know what I mean. And Greg's like, yeah, I think they just made their own dishes and didn't really think about anybody else's dishes. But I didn't have vodka in my drink, so that was nice.
So then Octopus with mole verde squash and serrano chile.
And Carrie's like, oh, wow. Is this spicy or is it just mine? Did someone put mayonnaise in this?
I like this dish a lot. Anyway, in case anyone's wondering, I like this dish a lot. Hey, Anna, Kristen, guess what? I just had a dish I like a lot. Bye.
And Kristen says it's bitter to her. She's missing sweetness. And Gail's like, yeah, you know, you get some sweetness from the squash, but no, it's not really going to work for me. And Tom's like, I mean, we didn't get one piece of cooked fish at the seafood restaurant. So, wow, that's quite a choice.
That's true. I blame Gabe for that. I 100% blame Gabe. So now it's Chris's dessert, and it's served. It's his kelp ice cream with the cocoa nubs and everything. So it gets served, and Gail goes, "Well, this is petite.
Gail is the size of a basketball, for crying out loud."
Well, points for getting something from the ocean into this. Oh, you know what? I expected to hate this, and I actually love it.
And Dale says, well, I don't know if it's just because we're in Oregon and hazelnuts are really good here, or if I'm just wasted off my fucking ass because Maria just kept giving me tequila shots. But this, what are we talking about again?
Dale, you're literally eating your microphone right now. Could someone clean him
delicious
up?
Delicious.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
All in all, we had two really special, delicious meals, except for the one of those meals, which was not special or delicious. Let's go talk at judges' table.
So here we are at judges' table.
Well, today was really amazing. You set the bar high, and every time I say bar, I just get a little more disappointed in the outcome of my child's life. But you know what? You guys should be proud, because you're not my son.
Yes, we had two very different experiences. Both were good. One restaurant we would go back to. The other restaurant, we hope, dies unfamously.
We hope the other restaurant just burns up and attracts all the evil souls known to mankind and gets swallowed up into a little box Ghostbuster style. Okay, Team Penny, congratulations. You're awful. We'll talk to you in a bit. Team Coca-Sun, we love you. Now talk to us.
How do you feel?
And Byron's like, huh, better now. And Gail's like, well, there was never a question where we were eating.
Then why'd you keep asking for Big Macs?
This felt like a concept that had been in works for years, unlike Gail's fashion, which looks like a concept that she came up with 5 minutes ago.
And Kristen's like, look, I did not do great in Restaurant Wars. So to see you guys do such cohesive work, it's harder than people think.
ha, ha, ha. Sorry, I can't help laughing whenever Kristen talks about her time in Restaurant Wars when she got eliminated by me. They literally show
Melissa's gonna do the rest of her critiques sitting on this box that will fall into water anytime I hit it with a tennis ball.
But actually, when Kristen said, when she said, I had the experience of not doing so well in Restaurant Wars, they literally cut to Padma just grinning and like looking at the other judges like, remember that? Oh, God, we crushed your dreams.
Nothing tastes as good as eating Kristen Soul feels.
You know, every single dish felt like it had, you know, it felt like it had a hand in it, you know?
Gail's hand. She couldn't get herself out of there.
Every dish literally did have a hand in it. Gail's.
Do you know how many times you had to use those stupid scented towels from the other restaurant to wipe her down?
Mm-hmm. And Maria, you're just so natural with hospitality. You're so focused on our needs. I felt like I was in Tucson.
Oh, yes, nailed it.
Yeah, it was really great having that Tucson simulation going on. I felt like I should have gotten some mom jeans and sat down and watched Yes, Dear on CBS.
Byron, the cure was beautiful. The seasoning was perfect. And you know what? The tongue was great because it was served before the actual sex. So I appreciated that. Now, at what point did the sandwich, why did we decide to put the sandwich at that point? And Shota's like, well, technically that's our braised dish. And he's like, whoa, touche. Okay. All right. Touche.
All right. Okay. It's nice to, unlike my son, when I ask him, why did you do that? You actually have a reasonable and intelligent response. Wow. What a refreshing change.
So, Kristen loved the tongue. And then Greg is like, that cake, the tres leche cake, was so money. It was a seamless fit for the concept of the restaurant.
You know, it's a seamless fit for the concept of Top Chef. Not you. That's why you lost.
Tom's like, well, you know, I like that it's so beautiful. And then we got something family style. Big pot of flavor. And Kristen says, yes, across the board, it was top notch. You know, I really loved it because it reminded me of what my mom made me. And I'm really connected to things like that. I'm like, yeah, that's why I fall in love anytime someone microwaves me some macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, all I need, people.
So the chef that wins is the chef that I want to make sure is working if I went into their restaurant. And the winner is Maria.
Oh, Maria, is this your first win? How's it feel? Do you want to cry? You want to cry a little bit, Maria?
Maria, you're not crying enough. I need more than an eye wipe, Maria, if you want to keep this win. Hey, Maria, want to be the next Gregory? Might want to try and cry some.
Show some goddamn emotion for once.
She's like, for once in my 39 years, I'm at loss for words, but I would not be here if not for Coco-san. Well, this is your first win. Cry more. All right, step to the side and try to remember how to cry. Someone pinch Maria. I want Maria tears by the time she comes back here. Thank you.
No, Maria, we don't want to look at your tattoo of Coco-san. Okay, you took it too far.
So, Team Penny, you have a stupid name and our least favorite restaurant, and one of you will mold like yogurt.
I'm interested to know why you guys just said, okay, let's make it a seafood restaurant.
And even though this seemed to be Gabe's idea, it's Dawn is like, well, we wanted the guiding principle to be seafood. And, Pema says, well, it doesn't seem like the menu is designed by one person.
Yeah, feels sort of like a collection of dishes, just like a incoherent collection of things, just a mismatch patterns. You can do it, Tom. Make your way up. Just think about Gail's closet and let it guide your way. You can do it, Tom. Make the insult.
Was there a Padma on your team? A natural born leader? And Don just looks at Gabe because he was bossing everybody around and he takes zero. He does not look back at her and takes zero. He goes, it was a collective. It was a collective.
Yeah. He goes, there's collective agreements and leadership amongst us. Bull fucking shit. Get out of here.
Yeah.
This is so obnoxious. So terrible. Oh my God, it drives me nuts.
And he's right because he did set it up where he's not technically the leader, but he's still bossing everyone around. If they had one and they said, is there a leader? He would have been like, well, you know, kind of me. Yeah. Actually.
Well, yeah, exactly. He would have totally done that. And I don't, this is where it drives me nuts, where chefs suddenly start acting like they are part of the Navy SEALs. They're like, there's honor amongst us. It's not an issue about honor. This guy fucking, you know, came up with a shitty ass idea and he bossed everyone around. And now he's, and he fucked everything up with his amuse-bouche, which set the wrong tone for the progression. And now he's taking no accountability. It's like not the worst thing in the world to be like, well, actually, Gabe was kind of our leader. Like, that's okay to do that. That is not being a slimy person to say that, because he's going to throw you guys all under the bus. I guarantee it.
Yeah. So then they get to the amuse-bouche. And Pabst is like, first of all, that amuse. Tom goes, well, you know, you expect more of a crisp tostada. Before foreplay. You know, that's what I would expect. And Padma's like, that tostada tasted stale and under-seasoned. And it had a weird crunch to it.
It was sort of like
I get it.
Sort of like my honeymoon with salmon, you know?
Gabe is like, yeah, I get it. I get it. Look, guys, I get it. I get it, guys.
He does not get it.
Okay. He just deflecting. You can sit there and fucking take it like everybody else, sir.
Yeah. And so Kristen also thought his octopus was way too bitter. So Greg loved Don's crab dish. And Tom's like, yeah, I mean, I think it would have been a better start than the tostada. Did you hear that, Gabe? Say it again, Tom. It would have been better than the tostada. Better than the tostada, Gabe. Hear that? Hear that?
And you know, the scallop dish, it was just, I mean, there was nothing I would change. Except... No, there was nothing I would change, except
my dress.
Good one, Gail. Now you're catching on.
Look, Driftwood finally figured it out. So Padma, she's like, Sarah, it's interesting that both of your dishes had creamy, non-dairy sauce. Did you wonder if they were too similar? I mean, let me rephrase that. Did you mean to serve us two dishes with jizz on it?
Those dishes suffered from not having a cohesive menu. And Sarah's like, well, I just didn't think that, you know, Don's dish would be so warm. So, like, oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
So
that's
you're going to go.
That's also how you do a subtle, like, you know, like, hey, it's not my fault, right?
No, I thought that was a dick move. You're going to throw her under the bus instead of fucking Gabe, who's sitting there making all these fucking decisions. And Gail's like, well, the halibut felt puzzling. The fish was weighted down. Yeah, and the salmon skin was, you know, I mean, I thought it was quirky, you know, and quirky is when you're at your best. So I liked it.
Yeah. And Sarah's like, I had to embrace the weird. No, I mean, I think that, like, I don't think that Don deserved to have a microaggression from Sarah, but I'm just saying, like, it's in that tone that they could have been like, yeah, no, Gabe is the leader. That's exactly how they should have approached
it.
You know? So,
yeah.
So, Chris, I question why the tortellini course came in the order that it did. I thought it belonged way earlier, but the tortellini, it was a little tough. Just sort of like walking right into Gail's wardrobe. You see everything all around and you say to yourself, this is a little tough. I think I'm going to go.
Yeah, it just needed more sauce, which is why I pour sauce on Gail every single night before she comes to the show. Now, Kristen, what did you think? And Kristen's like, I loved ice cream. Oh, yeah. One other thing is there was no clear front of house person. I needed you to be more present. I mean, that's the joy in dining at a chef's table. You get to eat food that's decent while you look at people who are poor and less famous than you.
I mean, isn't it a little odd that you would have huge celebrities sitting in front of you and then you wouldn't even want to talk to them and ask for autographs or life advice? It just seems strange.
One time I was at Benihana's with Gail and the guy was so present that he saw my face and actually burned his hand. Okay? That's what I want to see.
Oh, it was so awkward when they made that little tower of onions and lit it on fire and Gail tried to drink it. Gail, it was on fire, for crying out loud. Oh, we still laugh about her and her blistered little lips in the ICU.
Well, the major downfall, so it's now judges are alone. She's like, the major downfall of Penny is they didn't work together.
Just like so many of Gail's outfits. You know, and Gail says, but you know what? Don's scallop stood above the rest. We can all agree that Don is safe, right? So then Don, by the way, is the only one on that team that got universal praise. And then we go to the stew room and Don's like, well,
if I don't see any of you guys tomorrow, like, shut up, Dawn. Because she always does that. I forgot. Like, remember the first episode when, like, she was part of the group that just wasn't brought in? And she was like, well, they have the tops and the bottoms, but there's always a chance that I could still get sent home. It's like, Dawn, you're literally safe.
Yeah. So they liked Chris's ice cream, but his pasta, you know, sucked. And Greg goes, yeah, unfortunately, his pasta was brittle. And Patton goes, and he's made that mistake before.
How many times can you make a mistake? And from a very famous person, it's just rude at a point.
I love how angry she gets. So then Chris is back there saying how he failed at redemption. And back to the judges, Greg says, yeah, you know, Gabe's octopus, I feel, was a realized dish. And Patton goes, yeah, you know, when I had that, I said, yeah, there's my seafood dish.
It's like the time I did, first time I saw Gail coming out of quarantine. There's my seafood dish.
And Kristen says his tostada was inedible. And Gail says, yeah, you know, I agree, but I liked it more than that halibut from Sarah. You know, I mean, but there was a lot I loved about her second dish. Well, each of these three had a dish we didn't like. There was a lack of communication, and that was their downfall. I think we have our answer. Get what's their names out here, please. Hey, could you get all three of those people with that IMDb pages out here?
Someone bring in 1/5 of nickel, please. Thank you. So they come in. Well, you know, some of our most talented chefs met their demise in restaurant wars, like Kristen. Oh, I'm sorry, Kristen. I didn't mean to bring that up again.
Boom. Tennis ball. I warned you about it. But it starts with good planning. And unfortunately, a talented chef is going to go home tonight. It's not going to be one of you, but the winner will also be taking a van technically to their home because that's where they're living. Padma, hand the bad news down to the terrible girl who likes using yogurt too much and that we all secretly want to joke on yogurt. Go ahead, Padma. Answer. Padma, please stop me from this monologue. It's getting really violent.
Sarah, please pack your yogurt and go, Activia.
Sarah, we appreciate that you really enjoy bringing us culture literally through yogurt, but you're not good enough. Well, and don't forget, it's not over yet because there's still Last Chance Kitchen. Sarah, clucking chickens for chickens with clucking and yogurt, yogurt face, chop clucking chicken. See you next week.
Will Sarah make it in Chicken Culture Town? Let's see next week when Sarah clucks a chicken cluck.
Yeah, so Sarah, I was surprised it was Sarah. It should have been Gabe, but Gabe has that like big, Gabe's famous or something because they're all kissing Gabe's ass this whole fucking season. They really are. This is the second time Gabe could have gone home and they're like kissing his ass and I don't get it. I mean, I know his restaurant Comedor is very famous here in Austin, but he did get fired from it. Maybe he got fired from it later. I don't know the timeline of all of this, but they're really up his ass because of his trendy restaurant, I think.
Yeah, Sarah was actually really good, and she's been at the top almost all season. She's had a few misfires, so this was pretty surprising. I actually thought, you know, I think Chris saved himself because he made that ice. Basically, if Dale had not ordered that second bowl of cocoa nib ice cream, then I think Chris would have gone home. Yeah, this was a surprising turn. But I also do think that if it was clearer that Gabe was the leader and that he as the leader, you know, he should have been overseeing this progression, right? And I think that actually he would have gone home. But the fact that he just took no responsibility and everyone was too nice to be like, actually, he was the leader. He was the one who basically he suggested the name. He was the one who came up with the theme. He was the one who was doing this and that and that and was like, he was the one weighing in on how everything should taste. Then I think that he would have gone home.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well.
But alas, it didn't.
Oh, well. Such is Top Chef.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back later, probably today, with our Shaws of Sunset recap, which I believe is also our 1,500th episode, which is cray-cray. Anyway, we'll talk to you on the next one. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Love ya.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie, she's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
In the Hizzy with Jay Hizzy.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser is Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
We're a fan of Michael Land.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking violet. Violet Kuchar, we love you guys.